The start order is 1-7-4-2-3-9-8-5.
The Extra Lap RC Podcast.
Yes, this is the Extra Lap RC Podcast. My name's Aidan Burke, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend Martin Owen. How are you doing, Martin?
Very well, yourself?
I am really good, and our good friend Joseph Cochran. How are you doing, Joey?
Oh, I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, mate. I'm recovering from my weekend exerts, and I'm sure we'll chat about that later.
Nice.
Rather than me give a race report. Let's get straight into it, people. Martin, who are we going to speak to tonight?
This evening, we have the only reason I dusted my truck off this weekend and went racing. We have the PRO for the track section, Mr. Chris Oxley.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Hi, mate. I'm very well. Thanks for having me on.
That's not a problem, mate. I think anyone who spends a weekend with Martin Owen deserves some sort of nice thing to happen to them afterwards.
My pleasure.
Yeah, we couldn't think of anything for you, so we invited you onto the podcast. I'm kind of this short course and the Stadium Truck Nationals are quite new in my world to see them, but they've definitely come on sort of strength to strength recently. How long have you been involved with that section?
The section, I got voted in as the PRO last AGM, so October last year.
Right, okay. Is that was the one where Martin became the emperor of everything?
Yes, that's one. Okay. The Owen takeover.
The Owen takeover. The Mezzo Owen takeover.
Wow.
Okay.
I don't like any of you.
Thank you. It's fine. Carry on. Go, Chris.
Sorry, say it again.
Sorry for my interruption. Away you go.
Yeah, so I came on board as the PRO last year. So last year was the first year that the Stadium Truck Short Course section had been recognised by the BRCA.
Right.
And before that, Mark Ashford sort of created this, I believe, created this sort of short course stadium truck group as a kind of private thing. And it's sort of grown and grown and grown. And he sort of approached the BRCA, wanted to be recognize as a section. I started racing last year at the Nationals and sort of offered to help alongside a few other people, and it's sort of grown from there, really. So we're on our first official year of Nationals.
Well, let's get you straight under pressure right at this moment in time. Who else are the sort of people helping out with the section?
So you've got Tony Bish.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Bish is helping. He's obviously got years of experience. So,
he's so old.
He is very old and very talented.
He is old.
But never looks like he ages.
No.
What are we saying? He's always looked old?
Yes.
He started doing park runs and stuff. He looks fantastic. Jason Potter, CML's finest. He's our sort of entries officer type. And then a few other people, I think, that were on the committee from way before I came on. So they're like the old school members.
Okay. So brilliant. So you've got involved. It's a new set. I know Mark Ashford was definitely the driving force behind all of this. And other people have come on. And I suppose the weekend just gone, you all went to my happiest place in the world, Mendip, for your truck nationals. So... is Mendip far from you, Chris?
No, not really. It's only 65 miles down the M5, so it's not far. It's a good drive. You're driving towards the sea, so it's never a bad thing. But it's a great facility, great track, great club. Martin's there all the time, so...
That's the only negative.
Everything has a downside.
Yeah, everyone loves Gary Simmons. Everyone hates Martin. That's the way it works.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's a great club. It's the first real time I've ever been there because I spent so much of my life racing small cars indoors on carpet. I was too afraid to put anything expensive on dirty, sandy Astro. But now I've sort of have done. I'm hooked. I love it.
Brilliant. So, how, I suppose we can ask both of you, we can ask Martin and yourself, how did your weekends go? Let's, you tell us first, mate.
Mine, yeah, brilliant. Qualified third in the B, especially with the people that were there, the names that were there, and, you know, a lot of your regular buggy national races. Like, for me to get third in the B, I was absolutely stoked with that.
Pot hunters.
Yeah, pot hunters. After those easy national titles. But no, it was brilliant. It was brilliant to be stood around people like Scott Wyman. I stood next to him, learnt loads just from listening to the way that he was communicating with people on the rostrum. And, you know, like, real, I love this hobby. And I enjoy hanging around with the passionate people. And I learnt a lot just from standing next to him for 20 minutes. I learnt so much. So, yeah, brilliant. Didn't have the best finals, but came away with a smile on my face. So that's the main thing.
Wait. So you're telling me? Are you sure you're talking about the same Scott Wyman that I know? There is no chance that Scott Wyman was giving you plenty of information and advice.
Hey, he
no
was flying chance. With a truck the weekend. Scott was doing really well.
Yeah, he was telling me when he was about to lap me, and we had. Yeah, it was very good. But just generally, like, yeah, just seeing how. Having never done a national buggy event in my life, just to see how those people that are seasoned in it sort of conduct themselves and act and, you know, that sort of thing. It was just really interesting, like, for me to be able to take that on and hopefully use that so that I can, you know, conduct myself as a better racer on the rostrum to others. I just found it really interesting.
Fair enough.
Yeah, to be honest, Joey, it shocked me as much as it shocked you. You know, though, obviously, we all love Scott for all the things he's done recently. Love Scott, but what's the format of a short course stadium truck national? Did you get there? Did you get there on Friday? Did you get there Saturday?
No, Saturday morning, bright and early. Martin was there building the track. And then early doors practice, pretty much practice all day Saturday until the sun goes in. And then, yeah, bright and early Sunday. So we've capped at 70 entries. So it's 40 entries for the two-wheel drive stadium trucks, 10 entries for the four-wheel drive short course, and then 20 entries for the two-wheel drive short course. And then we do one practice, four quali, and then three finals for everyone. So all the finals get three finals.
Nice, that's really good. That's
yeah, so you get a lot of money, you get a lot of track time for your money, which I like. I like the idea of getting a bit more than, you know, 25 minutes for the 150 mile round trip and camping fees. So yeah, we try and give people as much track time as possible, and yeah, it's really good.
And then is Saturday then like open practice? It's not in heat order or anything along those lines.
No, I think obviously, like I said, we're capped at 70, so we're not as full as the nationals that you guys are used to. We don't have the numbers that you guys are used to, so we're able to just open the track, and, you know, people will naturally go up in waves, and we don't have so many people that we're having to restrict, you know, who can go up and time and everything else. So it's quite nice like that. We get quite a wide spread as well of experience levels. So again, obviously we're a lot smaller than the nationals that other people are used to. We've got a big spread of experiences from, you know, people like Tom Yardy, who's one of the best racers in the country, to people who literally were there for their first ever race. I know of at least one person who that was his first ever race meeting ever, was round one of the 2022 truck nationals. So yeah, I like that. I like the fact that somebody can come along and enjoy themselves and, you know, sort of embrace essentially, you know, the top level of our sport.
Well, I suppose it's like listening to this podcast, isn't it? You know what I mean? There's a wide level of experience and speed on this podcast, all the way from, you know, Martin at the top getting the best national results, you know, to then me. And then back down to Joey Cockle right near the bottom. You know, who just about managed to beat a load of farmers on Sunday. You know what I mean? That's what Joey does. It's the way. But how much practice did you do? That's my next question.
Well, again, because I don't live too far away, I have practiced a lot. Last year I was finding my feet. Essentially, my first ever real experience of racing Astro with anything ever. So last year was very much a sort of almost like a recce mission, trying to understand how to race on Astro and, you know, learn that sort of style of racing, having spent all my time racing on carpet. But this year I've tried to at least put a bit of effort in. So I have gone to Mendip quite a lot. Been very lucky to be able to go there a lot with the club racing that they offer and everything else. And Saturday I spent a fair bit of time, but I also go with quite a big group of people. So I try and help them as much as I can and, you know, everything. But I practiced enough where I felt like I was able to give a decent sort of example.
I need answers, Chris. I need numbers. I need strict facts. I'm going to ask Martin the same question as soon as you've given it. Did you have 5 runs? Did you have 6 runs? Did you have 7 runs on Saturday?
I probably had, I'd say about 4 or 5. I only ever go out for a few minutes just to see if my change has worked rather than doing a solid 5-minute run. So I probably went out for about 4 or 5 times. But Saturday, the track that Martin laid had essentially gone over all the areas of sand that weren't there for the track design previous. So all of my practice prior to that, which was on the high grip, sandless Astro, you know, having had loads of people on it, all of a sudden I was sort of spinning around on all this sandy stuff and really nervous as I left the venue Saturday night. Really nervous. But came back Sunday morning with a bit of moisture in the air and in the sand, and that track was fantastic. Awesome track.
Yeah. Okay, Martin, how much practice did you do?
Went out 3 times.
Just 3 times? Okay.
Yep.
Just to the donut van?
Yeah, just to the donut van. Yeah. Donuts going cheap. That's all I know.
That sounds perfect. If someone had said cheap donuts, me and Joey definitely would have come. Because I don't even know what cars you ran.
I run a team associated T6.2. Which is right, the current offering from Team Associated.
Oh, yeah, because I don't think they did it 0.3, did they?
No, and I don't... Yeah, I think their main focus is on the buggy and anything, will filter downwards. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the new release of the B6.4, whether that filters down to a truck variant or not, but I hope so.
And then... Because people always want to know, what kind of changes did you make during practice? Let's move on. Were you happy with your setup as you said you started Sunday? You've done all your changes.
I was happy after Sunday morning practice, yeah, but I wasn't happy when I left Saturday night. No.
Oh, okay. Well, is that conditions changing at Mendip, Martin?
Yeah, they did a little bit. It was a fresh track Saturday, so it was a little bit grippy in places, loose out. What the thing, I don't know, Chris didn't really mention it. The one thing that stood out for me on Saturday, I've never seen it so windy at Mendip.
Mm.
And it had to be windy when you're racing probably one of the cars that is mostly affected by the wind, a big dumb truck.
Okay.
So that's what the most issues I had in practice was I think myself, Matt Dodd, there was sort of a come from the top right of the track at the hill and come down. And if the wind just blew at the right time, the truck just lift up and just do weird stuff.
Yeah.
Very strange. But yeah, I mean, the track, we probably used every jump we could on that track, because I kind of thought in my head, at stadium trucks, you want to be jumping them. That's what they're made for. I mean, Ledbury sounds like it's going to be awesome. Big jumps. I mean, that is what stadium trucks is about,
right?
But we actually managed to, I mean, the car has probably spent a fair bit of the time off the ground at Mendip. If I knew what I knew now, I probably would have built a slightly different track, only in the fact that it the finals it was very, very hard to overtake But and I don't know if Chris maybe feels the same. I think for trucks, a track almost needs to be wider. We built it to 3 meters, which is what's in the rules, and it's the same for buggies, but I don't think it's quite wide enough for trucks because obviously they are a little bit bigger.
I think, yeah, the track has a line that is probably the width of a 10th buggy.
Yeah.
And we're already racing slightly wider, like big bouncy trucks on that line. And it's like Formula One, you go offline onto the marbles or the loose sand, and it is so hard.
Yeah. I think if you built a 4 meter wide track, it would probably work really well because you'd be able to do some passing. But they were cool. The track was great for qualifying. There was some good racing on it, but it you could hold your line quite easily.
Yeah.
So we learned something anyway. And tires seemed to be almost everyone was running the same thing. I think the Associated Boys, you guys played with a little bit with some of the JC Racing tires. I think Tom was on Swaggers on the front, V2s on the back. That seemed to be the popular combo.
Yeah, yeah.
That seemed to work, especially later in the day as the grip goes at Mendip, the V2 seems to work very well. But, you know, you had some experience with some different tires. I mean, tell us about those.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to try some of the JC Racing products tires. So JC Racing, I think they're based in or around Kidderminster, that sort of region. And they've just started producing tires for the stadium trucks. So, took some up there, and yeah, they were fantastic tires, but again, just sort of tweaking that sort of compound and the design and everything else, just as the sand came up, just needed something that digged into the Astro a little bit better. And I think that's what the V2 from Schumacher offered. I think most of the A-Final was on the V2 rear. But yeah, the JC Racing tires were brilliant in qualifying. And obviously it offers another sort of manufacturer in the mix in between sort of J Concept, Schumacher, Proline, and now we've got JC Racing. So yeah, there's options around for people to have a play with.
Well, what do we think the most popular? Because there's not a lot of stadium trucks. I'm going to say in the Northwest, there's not a lot of stadium trucks in certainly at Southport, and I just wouldn't know what. I think when I got my Storm, I bought cut stagger front trucks, and they just like spike tires at the back. I don't think I got those V2 ones.
Yeah, you had mini spikes, I think.
Yeah, mini spikes, and I think I got some blue micro pins for when I ran out of carpet. Is that would they work, or do you think like stadium trucks need to be on like a J Concept front and a V2 back, or are these JC tires, are they the same front and back, or have you got you're running a different make on the back, Chris?
So JC Racing released it's like a rib style tire, which was available from one of their sort of shop representative guys, came down, Philip Hitchman, brought those tires down to sort of sell on the day. So there was the rib tire, which worked really well. It's very sort of similar in style to the J Concept Swagger, which essentially the J Concept Swagger is one of those tires, stick it on, forget. You know, you probably never need to take it off. Then you have
Big tick. Well done, Jason Rona. Well done.
Yes, well done. People like Bish, I think in the final he was running the Schumacher cut staggers. So last year I ran a single set of cut staggers with a single set of V2s for the entire national series. And there's still loads of tread on them. You probably never, ever, ever wear out a set of cut staggers on the front. They're massive, massive things. So, yeah, you could easily do a whole national series on a set of those tyres. The tyre wear is fantastic on the front of a stadium truck. But, JC Racing, they offer a step pin, which to me and my simple mind looks a little bit like a truck mezzo. really. Sort of quite a fair amount of spikes without too much sort of space between the two. So it puts a little bit less pressure on each spike, I think. They offer a mini pin variant as well, which is a bit more rounded than the Schumacher. And then they offer a king pin, which is like a massive sort of, like the old-fashioned spike. But
yeah, something the South Lakes boys could use on grass.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It would be a perfect grass tyre. But then equally, as Martin sort of alluded to, that a lot of the A-Final were using the Schumacher. Obviously, a lot of the A-Final probably have Schumacher sort of contracts as well, but there was a lot of V2s. There was a lot of Swaggers from J Concepts, and equally there was a lot of those cut staggers. So yeah, there's many options.
Okay, I'm gonna go. Straight to mom. Enjoy your first Stadium Truck National.
I did, yeah. It was good fun. It was relaxed, and yeah, it was enjoyable. I was disappointed that obviously like the Worksop Truck Champion of the World wasn't there. You know,
you have to book him years in advance,
because you know we've never ever heard the end that he won trucks at Worksop. But obviously, when the big boys came out, he ran and hid.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
All right, California.
Well, you know, if Muzz's leaking of EOS things on the Grid Talk podcast last week at Worksop, maybe Joey might return to run trucks at Worksop.
I have offered him my truck to use there. I think he will.
He has indeed.
Yeah, but what happens if Yawn has a go?
Joey will have him.
Do you think?
Low grip. Joey was a truck champion of Worksop. Yeah,
easily. Yeah. So Yawn has never driven at Worksop, so he doesn't know.
That's it. Yawn who?
Yeah.
Okay. Well done. So the other one, Martin, was it nice to go to a meeting where you didn't feel like every set of eyes was on you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was good. It was enjoyable. Yeah. I mean, I didn't feel like that at Kidderminster, to be honest. You know. In the world of RC, there's two types of people. People that like you and people that don't. And I don't worry about the ones that don't. So I talk to people that do. Simple.
Is that why you spend all weekend talking to Joey and nobody
exactly.
else?
Exactly. Yeah, that's just because I feel sorry for him.
Loads of people don't like Joey. Loads of people.
But no, I mean, it was nice just to go. I mean, I got there early Saturday morning. Myself and Steve Pollinger, who's an absolute legend, helped me build the track.
Mm-hmm.
We got those new track marker, so it's quite a bit easier to do than dragging the hoses around.
Right.
In an ideal world, I'd like to have got there Friday and built the track. I might have done a few little different things, but we got it done by 2:30 so they could go out and practice. And yeah, on Sunday, it was nice just to stand back and kind of watch. In the same thing, being, you know, there's things that you think, God, if they should just do this, or we do it this way, maybe they should try it. But it's really easy to stand and be and criticize when you're not doing it. And I'd never, you know, it's not my rodeo. I'd just stay back and watch. You know, let them get on with it. Let them find their feet. I mean, there's nothing worse than someone poking you in the side every 5 minutes, going, no, you need to do it like this, and hurry up and do that and do this, as I know quite well.
Yes, so, yeah. By sick, because you sit next to Joey. Yeah,
exactly.
That's the problem. Chris, so because you are the PRO of the section, I feel super confident saying, well, where's next for the Stadium Truck Nationals? When's the next round? How many rounds you having this year?
We have a 6-round series, best 4 to count. Round 2 is the weekend of the 14th and 15th of May at Ledbury, which is my favourite track. So it's a big old, well, it's more known as an eighth Nitro track. It's run by a guy called Chris Level, who's fantastic, great.
He's a legend.
Yeah, top man. He understands how to put a good meeting on. But it's going to be a big, jumpy. It's what trucks are invented. Trucks aren't designed to be raced on snooker billiard tables. They're designed to be raced on big, bumpy Astro tracks with great big jumps, and that's exactly what Ledbury will deliver to us. So, yeah, really excited for Ledbury.
Then,
next is a 50th BRCA 50th anniversary special event at Telford. We haven't fully finalized the details of that, but essentially it's going to be I believe Friday practice and then Saturday and Sunday event. So it'll essentially be a 3-day. There's talk about doing a Reedy format, but like I said, don't hold me to that. We'll have to get Mark Ashford to clarify and sort of decide what we're going to do. But that'll be awesome because Telford's awesome. Tony Bish, awesome guy. Love the place.
Okay. Is that like round three, or is that another thing that's happening in the section this year?
Yeah, no, it's not official. It's not a point scoring round, but it's we are doing it as part of the 50th.
Okay.
Anniversary of the BRCA celebrations.
Okay.
26th of June, we go to Durham. So, yeah, about 4 trillion miles away from where I am in Cheltenham, essentially. Boughton, EPR, and then hopefully A1, Grantham, where we finish at the end of September. So that's our 6-round series. And then we all go indoor onto the carpet again.
It's what we really love. That's what exactly what carpets, trucks were designed for.
I hate carpet.
I don't mind carpet. I don't like this new Velcro EOS super glue, racing on Scotch-Brite rubbish.
It only stays like that for a few weeks. And, guys, I don't want to keep bringing up my A5 at the EOS in stadium trucks at the Huddy Arena, but I coped.
Yeah. I'd like to hope that I can talk one of these bigger sort of buggy events into allowing a class of 10 stadium trucks. I'd like to hope I could achieve that. Maybe end of this year, hopefully for next year, definitely. Because I'd like to at least have the opportunity to sort of showcase what we're doing. You look around like the EOS, you look around Europe, you look at what they're doing in America. I'd like to sort of hope I could persuade, maybe even the fantastic track series down at Taunton, if they'll sort of allow us to continue showcasing stadium tracks on carpet. But I think it'd be good fun.
Well, I don't know about indoors on carpet, but a couple of our newer people at Southport are heavily into trucks. I told them that there was no trucks. There was no such thing as a truck. So we never raced them at Southport. And then they found like a leaflet we printed like 10 years ago. And I think it's literally got a picture of me holding a short course truck on. And they're like, "See, you lied. There are trucks." So if you get any messages from Mike or Andy, that's our lot. But you have mentioned a few times during this, right at the beginning and a few times regarding spending most of your time racing on flat carpet.
Yep.
But for a lot of people who've listened there, they might assume that you mean touring cars.
Ugh.
But you don't, do you?
No, I don't. I have my previous life, I was the BRCA micro section chairman for 7 years. So 2007 till 2014, I think.
Okay. And then when we talk about micros, what kind of size, what kind of scale are they?
So that started off as 118. So anybody that might have heard of the RC18 by Associated or the Losi Mini T, that sort of scale. And then it pushed itself a little bit bigger to the FTX Blaze, the Charisma GTB, and the sort of more recent LC Racing EMB1 and the Associated Reflex 14B. So yeah, 1/14th scale is probably what I'd point most people now to as being a micro or a mini, however you want to sort of class that scale now.
I think we've spoken about this before, but every time we speak, and obviously our compatriots on the grid talk brusquely heavily into this as well. But when we talk about micros, we just always talk about the decline of micros. Because it seemed to be brilliant and then it just sort of fell off. And every time I speak to a micro person, they just go, oh, because we had to use liposing cases. And I'm going, surely that can't be the only reason.
I don't think it was. I think it was one of those perfect storms. So I started the section. Well, I started getting into micros about 2005, fell in love with them. Blah, 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 approached the BRCA, got loads of support from the 12th section, who were a fantastic group of people, love them to pieces. And they helped us do what we did. And then at the end of all that, I got to a point where we were having like 90, 100 people at every round. And there was probably only about 4 or 5 people who were, you know, very negative about what we were doing. And unfortunately, I listened to those 4 people more than I did the 96 happy people. And I ended up sort of burning out and having to take sort of 6 or 7 years away to sort of straighten my head out, essentially. But in the meantime, hard case lipos came along and people were sort of reluctant to want to pay 30 quid for a single lipo. I was very lucky. I was a single guy, university. I had all the time in the world to run this and put my heart and soul into it. I ran a forum, the only forum of its kind in the UK, probably in the world at the time. So I was able to focus tons of my time. And the section was then taken over by Phil Slay, who, you know, most of you probably know. And he's obviously got a wife and children and a job and everything else. So he didn't have the time I did. And I think it was just a case of it was one of those things that constantly needed to be babysat. It needed somebody who was able to, you know, push. And Phil did a fantastic job. But I just think it was almost one of those things where if it didn't have, you know, 100% full focus, it was just going to fizzle out. And it did, unfortunately. But it was a brilliant period of my life. I was only in my 30s. So it was like a quarter of my life that I spent doing that. And it was, made some amazing friends, amazing experiences.
We didn't have a micro national. We didn't have a micro national at Southport, but we would have 3 heats of micros at Southport indoors.
Yeah. There was, and there still is, places like I think Corbay, I think Action RC. There's a club down there, the very southwest of the country. They still have a hell of a following of micros. I know Dudley does as well. The Dudley Club, brilliant club. That is, they still have a big old following. But I think that it's a funny old game. People won't bat an eyelid at spending 80 quid on a PT. But if you ask them to spend 30 quid on a hard case lipo, they'll scoff at you. It was supposed to be a cheap hobby and a cheap class. And it developed into something a lot more serious, which was great. And we got a lot of support from a lot of the real good electric buggy racers. We had some brilliant people on our committee, people like Phil Slay, Andy Jones, Stu McDonald doing our refereeing for us. You know, had some brilliant people. But unfortunately, it fizzled off. And I was hoping I would be able to resurrect it, but COVID just hit, ruined, you know, all that sort of any opportunity of racing indoors, bringing in, you know, new models from China, you know, that side of the world, it just totally died.
Do you think, Chris, the wheelbase thing made quite of a difference as well? The short and the long wheelbase micros.
I think, well, I never experienced the 12th scale off-road stuff. That came in after, whilst I was on my sort of sabbatical, as I call it. I know you talk to certain people, they'll say that it killed off micro racing, and I can understand that if you have a chance of racing something that's faster and handles better for the same money but is still smaller than a tenth, you're probably going to buy it because that's what everyone wants to do. But you know what we did with our little cars, and you know, we went to tracks that we would have easily held on to most tenth buggies. I'd definitely put money on that. Fantastically fast people race. Yeah. People like Craig Harris, you know, fantastically fast people racing with us.
Oh yeah, at Formby, where this is where our indoors was, on like on Prime FL GT carpet or something like that. The micros went round quicker than the tent buggies. Yeah, without a shot, we all had it, like long wheelbase blazes, where they were.
Yeah, the FTX blaze. Yeah, that started.
And we all had. Yeah, that's what we all had. Those, and we had to buy longer drive paths, and I think we used. Were we on rally block tyres?
Schumacher rally blocks, yeah. I think the thing that my biggest regret with the micro section was when I was writing the rules, I wrote all the rules essentially from scratch. And I spent, because it's sort of very sort of like that, I suppose that's my personality. I'd spent hours trying to work out the scale ratio of all the different 10th buggies and trucks on the market to work out what our version of 18th scale or 16th scale was. And I came up with a set of rules. But also, this was around the time when brushless just started hitting our industry, and lipos just started hitting our industry. And if you speak to a lot of people who used to race the brushed motors with the micros, that was like the glory days of our section then. And then I introduced what we called this modified class, brushless with lipos, and I won the national title for that the first year we did it, 2007. But again, obviously everyone wants to go faster and brushed, die to death. And really, micros, you know, in hindsight, micros ended up just being way too fast for their own good.
Trying to think whether I had a Teakin Speedo.
A Mini Rage.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
And, oh, mate, they were like lightning. Of course, obviously, indoors, the track's twice as big. That was the thing that I always thought. I was like, why did they go around so fast? And, in fact, we can talk about Beautiful Tim later. But Beautiful Tim, I think, attended quite a few Micro Nationals. And he was like, but the track's twice as big, Abe. That corner's twice as big for me in my Micro than it is for you in your, probably, RC10B4 at the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
We were lucky, again, we had a lot of support. Jimmy Story from Oopal, bless his soul. Like,
yeah.
Vicky, they both came down. They offered loads of support. It was a huge influence to me. Me running a forum at the time and trying to promote a hobby that I was super passionate about, or am super passionate about, you know, to see what Jimmy was doing with, you know, with Oopal and that side of the sport. You know, I took so much influence from him. And like I said, they both came down. They supported so many of the events I put on.
Yeah, amazing people. We wouldn't know each other. We wouldn't be doing any of this if it wasn't for them.
Yeah.
So with the fact that you're now moving with the Stadium Truck Cool Kids, is that micros off the table now for a few years until something else happens? You do race buggies, because me and you were raced over Christmas at Midland, didn't we?
Yeah. I think it would be very difficult for the micros to come back. I think, obviously, you know, everyone's feeling the effects of the cost of living increases, and COVID's affecting the price of everything coming into this industry at the moment. You know, so if somebody released a micro now that was the same price as a 10th two-wheel drive buggy, nobody's going to be picking up a micro. Whereas when we were racing them, they were £90. You could buy a kit, carbon fiber, Pro Alley shocks, the Charisma GTB from CML were bringing that in for £99.99. So it was a perfect thing at a perfect time, but I don't see it. I don't see it coming back as it did, unfortunately. But I'm lucky I get to focus on another small section and hopefully try and help it grow and build that up.
Well, everybody does love trucks.
I think I can hear Phil Slade crying that, you know, micro's dead.
I think I can hear Phil Slade crying because I also bought an 8th e-buggy recently, and that put a tear into his otherwise beautiful face.
Wow.
Bless him.
Is that why he's not coming Phil wants this to weekend?
Phil wants to race trucks, I heard.
I'd like to think we could get him to Telford.
Yeah, I mean, he really wants to do it. He was telling me.
I've heard, yeah. So if Trish or Muzz hear this and fancy sending Phil out as a representative of Schumacher.
I'll send him my truck. He can race away.
I appreciate that. Yeah, put it in his contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could turn up and stand next to him with Phil Slater, yes, which are still available through DMS models, who don't sponsor me at all, who just have Ace X Factory old shirts, and they last for ages. Get yourself a damn
sure, I'm sure. I'm sure Darren would be really happy that you've just promoted the X Factory stuff, but you said the shop name wrong.
Well, you buy them from DMS, don't you?
Yeah, it's DMS Racing, not DMS Models.
Oh, isn't it? Okay, it's close enough. Close enough.
Detail, isn't it, Jerry? All about the detail.
Oh, exactly.
I'm not a detail person.
We know.
You can't even build a diff yourself.
I mean, yeah, you've just shoehorned your way into Orlowski's pocket for some to build your diffs at the weekend. As if he's not going to be busy.
No, it's not this weekend. That's next weekend. He's going
next weekend.
Can you ask him if he would race a stadium truck for me? Although I know
he hates them.
He
absolutely hates them.
I know.
He's not a fan.
Bless. Can't be perfect.
Orlowski's going to be super busy having to fend off Alan O'Brien's sexual advances. So leave him alone.
I believe the X-Ray and Michael have all moved hotel to stop any kind of advances from Alan O'Brien. they've moved hotel, which is really bad because I think they've moved into mine. Not going to be any better there.
No.
Bruno's only little. I'm sure you can pick him up and put him in my little pocket and run off. He'll be fine. Very strange. Probably shouldn't have gone that way. So, Chris, you've raced this weekend. What's your plans? Are you racing somewhere else this weekend? Are you just truck now, or are you do buggies? What's going on?
I love buggies. My focus is stadium trucks at the moment. I've just bought a E8 buggy as well, just to have a little dabble at Ledbury. Just to see what that's all about. So that's, I think this weekend is practice week. Oh, actually this weekend I think is a club round at Ledbury. So I'll be there playing with my eighth, embarrassing myself.
Nice.
Then the week after that, I think is a week off, and then it's the Truck National at Ledbury. So yeah, just as much off-road Astro based fun as I can possibly fit in this year.
Brilliant. Okay. Mark, I know this is a terrible question to ask because you're terribly busy, but do you think you might, if the opportunity arises, would you attend another Truck National?
Yeah, I mean, I want to go to Ledbury. So if anyone can message my wife on Facebook and tell her that I need to go and get me a
pass. I'm doing it now.
Because at the moment, she's like, it's between Robin Hood, Euros Warm-Up, and Southport. You're going to be away another weekend. Yeah. She's making me stay home this weekend as well.
Blimey. Can you not just buy her some shoes?
I've tried that, and yeah, it just doesn't happen.
Have you suggested she should go to a Hindu in Liverpool? Because, you know, I could get beautiful Tim there, and we know he likes those two things all being put together and being chased by dogs. Woof, woof. Maybe do that.
Did you not just get her a storm and book her in?
She hates RC cars with a passion. You can imagine I spend most of my evenings talking to people on podcasts or various other things. And I'm currently in the kitchen and there's RC car stuff everywhere. And she hates it with a passion.
Nice.
Bless her cotton socks.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're pushing a bit too much to go to Ledbury, mate.
I would like to go because I'd like to enjoy the jumpiness of the jumps, because I heard they're really good, but if you get them wrong, you might bend your buggy. So that's even better because it's more an incentive to get it right.
Yes, there's a triple that you do not have to triple.
No. You know, it's all about getting it right and learning it. So, I would like to go. I mean, now you got your e-buggy, you'll have to go to Brookthorpe as well at some point.
Yeah. I've made a great mistake of asking what tyres would be good on at Brookthorpe on the dirt, and I'm pretty much getting like 2,000 word essays of options from people, which is a bit worrying.
Oh, it's really annoying, that stuff.
Many a tyre.
Okay. But that has reminded me, sorry, Chris, it's nothing to do with you, but you've reminded me, so I'm going to go into this now. There seems to be some sort of confusion about who's entered, but it's a good segue. Who's entered from the UK to the 8th E-Buggy Euros? Not the warm-up that happened the other week. Where Trish amazed the world with some sort of crazy thing.
It's Ananda.
Don't stop that.
It's Ananda.
The no-name RC Discord channel went crazy because I think he's got different manufacturer of shocks on the front of the car than he has on the back of the car.
No, they're just anodized Ananda ones.
Okay. But anyway, that was my question. There are people I know who are unsure. They want to go to the 8th Euros and they are unsure about who they speak to or what they do. They've entered on the website. They're still not 100% sure. And they also don't know what tyres they should be running. So this is probably to any of the people who are listening or know somebody who is going to the 8th E-Buggy Euros in the Huddy Arena. Can you let me know? And then I can pass your details on. It would be a great help for me and for my friends who want to attend. They're not going to win, right? They want to attend that. They're ready to go, but they do need a bit of help. So if you're listening to this over the weekend and you're sat next to Clancy or a Skidmore or...
Or all in Portugal.
Are they all in Portugal? If you're listening to this on a plane going to Portugal or in Portugal, can we figure out who's going and can someone contact me and let me know? Because I'm not being funny. My mates want to go and they need some info.
Even better, you could also go through, you know, the BRCA, who probably would have something to do with it. You know, speak to the aid section.
Well, if I'd asked them that, all I'm saying is maybe they have not had as up-to-date information from the section involved. Otherwise, I wouldn't have mentioned it now. Okay? Let's just leave it like that, okay? Wow. If you know anything, please let us know. Because there does seem to be some sort of confusion about what's going on the eighth E-Buggy Euros. But that was super. Chris, sorry about that tangent. We've got other tangents to do with Beautiful Tim coming up later. But, mate, thanks very much for your time. Before we let you go, would you like to thank your sponsors or anyone else who's been good for you or helped you out in your RC career?
Yeah, don't have any sponsors, always open to options. Biggest thanks, Wes Miles at CML. I wouldn't be where I was if it wasn't for him. Helped me since pretty much day one. And as always, had my back, helping me out. So CML distribution as well. People who supported me during the micro days, especially people like Craig Harris, people, Rob Hancock, Andy Jones, Phil Slay, people that have always had my back. And I suppose Martin Owen as well, because he's my current inspiration and person I look to, sort of leading his buggy section.
Leading you won't do anything,
touch.
Right?
Leading his section and causing carnage. But it's good to have people in this hobby I know I can approach and get help from and advice from. And Martin's been a big help in the very short time I've known him. So, yeah, thanks to all those people.
Are there two Martins? Is there another Martin we don't know about?
Thanks. Hey, I can be very helpful. I can also be a real big asshole.
There you go. Okay. Chris. Yes, it is. It is why we love him. It's why we keep him here. So we can keep him under close combat. Chris, thanks very much. I did sort of speak over to you the most important bit when you were thanking us for getting you on, because I'm not being funny. We are awesome.
I look forward to seeing you on the carpet at some point towards the end of the year, no doubt.
We'll be carpet. I think Worksop, EOS seems to be. I think we'll be getting some information on that soon-ish. That's what Muzz was saying last week on Grid Talk. I think we'll be booking in. That'll be great. There'll be trucks there, I assume.
Yeah, definitely. If there's an option to race trucks at Worksop, I will be there. If I can get an entry, I'll definitely be there.
Well, it's EOS, isn't it? Everyone gets
EOS,
an entry.
EOS, everyone gets an entry.
Ah, perfect.
You know, we could be like 400. Like, I think what did Russ's estimate was two. He thinks we'll have 200 entries into two-wheel drive.
What I mean?
It'll be more than that.
I think it could be more than that. I literally think it could be more than that. If they can got Worksop, Pitt and Space, Scotty Ernst, all the superstars, Joey Cockhill. I'm not being funny. Imagine Joey Cockhill versus nine other European superstars. You know, what's Max Gotsel going to feel like? Or who's the other next ring? Benetton or something. And the rest of the world in this venue are cheering for the fella at the end who nobody knows.
Imagine Scotty Ernst screaming Joey's name on the microphone.
Yeah, it's a clean sweep, which is handy because it fits in with the fact he once hit Fletcher's car with a broom. Mark is not your name. Chris, thank you very much. That's because you mentioned Mark Hancock before.
I did.
Rob Hancock. And I love them both as well.
They are top.
Top blokes. And I think just before I say goodbye, I think I did actually beat you the last time we raced at Midland. You know, that was pretty good, wasn't it?
Probably.
So, yeah.
Till next time.
It's all right, Chris. At least you do national events, mate, so don't worry.
True.
Don't take it too far.
And I can build a ball diff on my own.
Exactly, yeah. Well done, mate.
I don't believe you, Chris. I think you should help me. You can come sit by me, Michael, and you. We can build a ball
Jesus
together.
Right.
Anyway, kids, thanks very much. Excellent. Chris, speak to you again soon, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Keep fighting the good fight. Bye now.
Bye.
Well, that was great speaking to Chris Oxley. What a lovely fella. I'd said I bumped into him last at Midland around Christmas when they did their like weedy race thing. We had a really good time. Helped me out a lot on the day. So, Martin, we've already spoken about your racing.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to know. Joey, how did you get on?
Okay. Yeah. It was good. It was a good day. Weather was nice. Bit cold, but standard. I'd rather it be cold and sunny than cold and rainy. So
definitely, mate. Yeah. So you ran four wheel drive. Was that the plan?
Yeah, that was always the plan. I've had a fair amount of running with the two wheel drive, which is weird for me to say.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, last Kidderminster National was the only first time I properly run the four-wheel drive, so
yeah, that's it. Okay, mate, that sounds really good. Was there anything you need to work on? Did you have like a list of homework from Carter to go through, or you just getting a bit of stick time?
No, I remembered when we was at Kidderminster, Martin had changed from four gears to two gears in the diffs,
nice.
So I tried that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, really, that's pretty much the only massive change. Obviously, between tyres, but yeah.
Did you find it made much of a difference?
A little bit, yeah.
Made it a little bit easier to drive.
Yeah, it's more calmer. But yeah, it was ideal. Because Bingham is not known for being a smooth track, so it's anything you could do to sort of reduce the car from trying to fall over everywhere is ideal.
Excellent, mate. And it looked relatively straightforward from the results sheet, but was a relatively straightforward A-final?
Yeah, A-final was fine. I qualified fifth, which was a bit disappointing. I had
noticed that, mate. If I'd noticed that, I would have led with that information.
I was plagued with problems throughout the day. Practice, not so much my fault, somebody stepped up onto the straight as I was going down it and took a wishbone off.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, the guy offered to just sort of lend me his for the day, so that was the thing. Round one, absolutely fine. TQ'd round one. They do this for the their boss series. They do what they call mass line starts. So even numbers on the back on the front line and odd numbers on the back line, but they switch it every round. And if you don't get that first corner, that's pretty much, it's a struggle. But round two, I think I finished fourth. And then round three, my servo arm broke, which is a bit frustrating.
No.
And then round four, my lipo decided to throw a cell 3 minutes in. So that was fun. Wow. I also then get that out of the car because it would have swollen up and it was just pushing against that the top braces as well. So that was fun. It's now in my garden in a bucket of water, dying slowly.
I'm glad all the. I had to say this honestly. I'm glad that all that happened on that sort of practice training day, rather than at the next national. You've got all that karma banked. Well, that sounds like you had a lovely day. The pictures look great, mate.
I have always enjoyed going to Bingham. It definitely throws the off road element into it. You know, it's very what's the words Pete Lyons used? Undulating and. I think I was talking to Skeldon, and I said you don't ever do the same line twice. It every lap is a different line because of the bumps throw you off, but it's nice. It's a good place to go.
Yeah, I messaged Martin on the Sunday, even though he was racing, just to go. I'm sorry, we're gonna have to speak to Facebook. I think Joey's been hacked because somebody's put a picture of a car on Joey's Facebook, and I just thought that was a bit weird. But it was nice to see you out having fun.
Yeah, it was nice to obviously have a rare weekend off work, so I obviously hadn't had to book holiday for. So,
brilliant. Have you got any other running before the next national at Always Sunny Southport planned?
Possibly this Sunday, come in.
Oh, possibly.
Whoa. I'm not doing the warm-up because I have to work. So I think no. Unless I could do something midweek before Southport, but weekend-wise, no. I'm pretty much after this weekend coming, I'm every weekend again.
Till Southport.
Till Southport, yeah.
We just love, everybody loves seeing you about. Racing. We love seeing your pictures. Please keep it doing as much as you can, but don't do too much, which I think I think we can both agree that Martin going to Ledbury is probably a bit too much.
I don't think the wife's going to let me.
If somebody was to lend me a truck, I could say to Sarah, but I'm going, so Martin has to come.
Yeah, because you're not safe to be let out by yourself.
Yeah. She will understand that point. We can play that out as a story.
Trust me, my wife is not going to let me out racing.
No. Try not to make other comments. Kids, listen to this. Guys, well, I'm going to talk about my weekend. I didn't go racing. I went on a stag do. Guys, thank you very much for all the lovely likes and comments and messages. I then did, of course, go through on Sunday. Someone messaged me on Sunday afternoon going, I'm sure there's a video of you disco dancing on Facebook. I said, no, I went through and deleted it. So there's still some
pieces of it.
Oh, no.
I haven't saved
it to anyone. Oh, that's fine. I'll send it to anyone. Just
message me and I'll send it to you.
Message me, I'll send you the ball. But it was really nice. It was like a little RC stag do. Somebody who has been racing in the Big Blue Tent for a long time. We call him Tipsy. He's getting married. And me Bawley and beautiful Tim attended. And I'm not being funny, guys. We had a great game of boozing and we'd done well. I said to Bawley, like, this is definitely RC stuff. And at like 2 o'clock, I said to Bawley, if you phoned me up and said, should we go running for 10 hours? I would have said, no, we'll die. But apparently it's okay at 46 to suddenly think that we can go drinking for 10 hours. But it was a perfect day. The weather was great. We played some crazy golf. I got a hole in one and then blew the last hole, so I came last. We had some great time in some of the nice student-y style parts of Liverpool. And then we watched a fight. I can't remember the last time I was in a pub to watch a big boxing match, but that was really good to watch the I can't even remember, Fury White. Watch that. I didn't even see the end of it. It was at the bar. And then we went into some like lots of 70s clubs and things in Liverpool and we had a great time. Highlight for my night, and I think I might have mentioned it before, is beautiful Tim actually being chased by a homeless man's dog. So if you do bump into somebody who you might think is called Beautiful Tim, just turn around and just go, woof, woof. we had a great time. But that meant we were unable to get up handy and go to racing. But we enjoyed ourselves. It was great. Great to see some messages from people all around the world seem to be enjoying my and Bawley's disco dancing. And this will happen again. And this weekend, of course, we're all, a lot of the Northwest and a lot of the people are at the Oopal in Durham. There's lots of posts going up. Menus are going up this week. You know, tyres orders have gone in. Ryan Clark said I should maybe try some uncut staggers. Guys, when's the last time you used uncut staggers?
Jerry tried them the weekend, I think. At Kitty. Oh, no, he didn't. No, he tried cut staggers on his four-wheel drive.
Wide four drive staggers on four.
Ryan suggested that, and then the other bit, which I just had to drop into Facebook. I'd already done that prep, but I had to drop in the fact that Simon Smith, when I was talking to him on Sunday, I was asking about how long his ball diff was going to last, because I think I'm going to need a ball diff in Durham, a bit sandy, looks a bit sandy. And he said, but you have got a two-plate slipper, haven't you? And I went, no, I've got a three-plate one. He goes, well, with a ball diff, we always run a two-plate slipper. I can't remember why. He did tell me, I can't remember. But that's my top tip for the day. Ball diff, LD2, two-plate slipper. Have either of you guys heard that before?
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, then, can you remember why we do that, Martin?
Yeah, because with a three plate, basically, yeah. if you run a ball diff, so I get this right, because I was explaining this, a lot of people especially you get down here, a lot of people go, oh, the Schumacher diff doesn't last very long. And what a lot of people were doing was running their slipper quite tight and their ball diff quite loose. So the ball diff heats up and it would melt or crack or dry up. Because obviously the hotter the ball diff gets, the faster the grease will slowly go.
Okay.
And I guess the idea with the two plate is you can loosen it off a little bit more to get a little bit more slip in the slipper. So it doesn't give the ball diff such a hard time.
I think that's right, because I've never had a problem with my ball diff, but then I probably run my slipper a bit looser than most people.
And of course, to get the three plate quite loose, you almost run the nut off the edge.
Yes, that's it. Okay. Well, so I was chatting to a few people. I had some messages with a guy called Andy today, and I'm just like, just drop that in. Just tell him. Simon Smith said, ball diff, two plate slipper. But so we'll be looking forward to that. I think that's it. Is there anything else we probably need to talk about this week?
I can't
think of anything. I don't really think I should probably. I'm just going to do my bit now. Then, and we're definitely going to thank Chris Oxley for coming on and talking about stadium Truck Nationals and Micros. Great to speak to him. Great friend of us all. It was great, of course, to speak to James Helliwell last week.
Yeah.
It was great. We, me and Martin had the Euros warm up. Not the week, not this weekend, you're listening. Next weekend, we're there for that. I think, I'm not being funny, Martin, me and you might be in the same heat.
Do you think? I don't think so.
Wow. Wow.
I don't think so, mate.
Well, no, if you look at the 80 people who's in the race, it's like 70 really good people, and then 9 people I know.
Right. You know what
I mean? There's like, I'm definitely in the bottom heat there.
Yeah, you will be. I won't be with you, unfortunately.
Well, that'll be a good picture opportunity next weekend. So it's great to speak to James and listen to all those stuff that he's doing. And we'll have some sort of chat or coverage from Euros warm up. I think that is it. Just because you've won your A final, Joe, would you like to thank your sponsors again?
The guys at Schumacher. I've just gone absolutely blank then.
I made a national A final. I don't get to thank anybody. Figure that one.
Hang on. Let's start.
I should have won a walk, so yeah. We've got to thank them then.
Oh, do you want me to thank your sponsors? Because I can remember your sponsors better than you. Because I'm a freaking professional at this.
I've got it.
Aiden's so professional, he has show wheels, remember?
Oh, yes. Oh, that's disgusting.
Oh, that is so good.
Absolutely disgusting.
Do you know how show those wheels are? Okay, I've only glued the inside of the tire, as in the inside rim of the tire. I've not glued the outside rim of the tire, because sometimes when I do that, it leaks and it may like marks the wheel. So just to make sure those wheels are perfect on Facebook.
If they're show ones, why would you even glue them?
Well, because I'm sure somebody might pick them up and look at them. So I thought if I just glue the inside, it'll just always sit right.
Joey, hashtag RC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Doesn't get any bigger.
Thank you very much. Hate the game, not the player.
Well, like I said,
you can hate the player when he's rubbish.
Even the pros don't even have probably show wheels. Their cars come straight off the track and boom. They've still got
I learned today, guys?
Go on, what?
Show wheels and about dogs.
You did. And donuts.
And donuts.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with dogs.
Dogs.
And donuts.
Donuts. Show wheels, guys. If you don't know this, please check out my Facebook page. Guys are going crazy. Did you like the fact that I actually mark my mezzos though into pairs and sets?
Yeah, but I do the same. I just put I put an L for the left and then a right and then a number and then a number to correspond to when they were used.
Oh, right.
Think I used to see Freddie Russell used to mark the when he used to run them. He used to just do like a tally inside to see how long. I'm sure it's Freddie.
And he used to
tally out how many times he'd run them.
And Aiden thinks Joey does all that, and he's still rubbish.
Mm.
Yeah, but I do that. So people who don't know me might think I'm quite good.
That's it's not my. Don't admit to that.
Hang on. My entire thing is the fact that no one really cares what I say. It's just odd to listen to somebody.
What any of us say.
No, but I think I have to remind Joey now, we're still recording this, Joe. So please calm. Okay. Okay, but we'll talk about this. Because I spoke to Lee Kane practicing at Southport yesterday. We recorded this Tuesday, people. Lee Kane practiced on Monday at Southport. They've been to the National at Blackpool, 8th National, had a great day. I think he finished 4th, didn't he?
Yeah, well done, Elliot Boots, winning that, by the way.
Yeah, Boots win. Was it Crag then? William Skidmore.
Skidmore, Crag.
To be fair,
Neil was running Yellow Wheels again.
Yeah, absolute legend. So we can see. Legend. Great idea.
But, you know, I was talking to Lee, we were trying to sort out that time for Lee to come on and chat to us. And I said, well, one of the reasons we didn't speak to him at all last year, and it was the beginning of the year before we talked to him, because he was doing the stuff with Nemo Racing. But then, as he actually said, it's quite difficult. He found that quite difficult to do on a regular basis. And my response was, one, we enjoy it. And two, we understand that people don't really care what we say. That's the freest thing about what no one really cares what any of us three say, do they? They'll listen, but that's different from caring. And that just is much easier. And we have great mates. We have the best fans. Hashtag Carter. Some of our fans have some really cute dogs. Hashtag Joey Fishing. And some of our best friends take some of the greatest pictures of Lee Stetzer I have ever seen. Hashtag Mark Roxford. Hashtag Goober Golf. I love you all. Love you all. I'm going to say goodbye anyway. Please like and share this podcast. Please like and share all the podcasts. The Grid Talk have hit a massive milestone recently. Ran Out of Talent have just released their 100th episode. But most importantly all, our friend, guest of the show, Toby Hampson, please continue to get better.
Yeah, I saw that. He's getting better by the looks of it, which is good.
So we love you all, and can everyone find you when you're listening to this, pick your phone up, put Toby Hampson in. You'll recognise him when you see the picture. You'll see the videos if he's in hospital. Just say hello, because he's a good fella, and that's why we do this. We do this for the good fellas. Because if you're an idiot and you cause other people less enjoyment, us three are coming for you.
I have a list.
Martin's actually got some sort of power to do that. Me and Joey will just sit on you and eat all your donuts.
Yeah.
Night, kids. See you soon.
Good night.
Bye now.
Goodbye.